Hey, will you guys give a hand to our cast real quick? Just, they're so awesome. And if you would just, let's just pray together for a moment. Father, I pray in these next few minutes that our hearts just be open to you. God, that what you've been speaking to us tonight would all come together right now, and that you would have your way in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm just going to take a couple of minutes and share with you what our heart was behind the show as we got together and as the cast got together and as we started brainstorming what the show was about. Here's the thing that we were seeing. So many people feel like, people that we know and maybe people you know, feel like they can't go to church because they don't fit in because everybody there has it all together. They feel like they can't read the Bible or they can't pray, just like that the Barbie skit that you saw. Was, man, I can't pray like prayer Barbie or read the Bible like read the Bible Barbie, and I can't worship like Hillsong Barbie. But the whole idea is that God created you to be you. You don't have to be like somebody else. You just got to be real about being you. And the skit you saw with the Siri skit, the idea there is the whole thing behind that was praying. You don't have to pray like somebody else prays. You just be you. Man, prayer is communication with God. It's just talking to God. And when I yielded my life to Jesus when I was a teenager, and then I was in middle school when I first prayed to give my life to the Lord. But then during my school years, I kind of fell away from the Lord until my senior year. And in my senior year, I just radically recommitted my life to the Lord. And Jesus, I'm going to follow you with all my heart, no matter what. I'm not going to turn away. And I want to be as close to you. God, I know you're real. You have made yourself real to me. And I want to be as close to you as humanly possible while I'm on this planet. Show me whatever I've got to do to get close to you. Because if God is real, if heaven is real, and hell is real, I don't need to play some game with God or church. I don't need to pretend like I'm a Christian, but I'm not really. If God is real, then I need to know him. If he made a way for me to know him, then I want to do whatever I possibly can to be as close to him as I can. And so, man, I started reading the Bible. And you know what? I found out the Bible was hard to understand because I was reading the King James Bible. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that except I just don't speak Shakespeare language, especially as a teenager. You know, when you start reading stuff like "Whither thou goest, I will go," I didn't understand that. I didn't know what "whither" meant. You know, "whither thou goest, I will go." So I found out I need to read a different kind of Bible. And I have people ask me sometimes, what's the best translation of the Bible to read? And my answer is, whichever one you will read. You know, read that one. So for me, I had to get one that I could understand. And then I would pray. I'd say, God, show me, help me know who you are. Because the Bible says he and his word are one. And so I was like, Jesus, show me who you are when I read this. Help me understand who you are and what this means for my life right now. And I would just read it like that. And I would pray before I'd read it. And then I would try to pray like other people that I saw praying. And I grew up in this traditional church, and we had prayer books and all that stuff, and that's good. But I would try to pray some of those prayers, and I just didn't feel that it was connecting with me. And so I said, somebody told me one time what I'm telling you now. You just talk to God just like you would talk to a friend. And so for me, that really helped me. So I just had to literally do that. I would talk to Jesus as if he was right there. Even like if I was driving in my car, I would like literally look. This is before like cell phone days because I'm old. So like if you were talking, like I was driving in my car and I would be talking, and people would probably think I was crazy because they didn't, like now you would just think somebody's on the phone. But back then they didn't have that. And I would like look over in the seat beside me and I would like pretend like Jesus was there. I'd be like, Jesus, look at that tree you made. That's awesome. Man, you made that, you know? And I just start talking to him real like that. And the whole point was I needed to learn how to communicate with him. And so even some of you have heard my story, how you know, I would go for walks on the beach and talk to the Lord about how beautiful everything was and just start having conversations with him. That's what prayer is. Prayer is just communicating with God. And you don't have to be perfect to do that. You don't have to have all your life together to talk to God. And so many times, and we run into people, and you probably do too, that as soon as they make some mistake in their life or they have some sin in their life that they're aware of, they avoid church and they won't pray. They don't talk to God. They avoid reading the Bible because we're afraid that God's going to, I think deep down we're afraid that God's going to reject us. And you need to understand that he won't do that. He says, come to me just like you are. You don't have to be perfect, have it all together. That's why Jesus came. We just bring that stuff to him. And so that's what this show is really about tonight. I want to read a couple verses to you. First of all, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single person has sinned. So there are no perfect people. There are no perfect Christians that have it all together. All of us have sinned and fall short. All of us have made mistakes. All of us have blown it. All of us have rebelled. The Bible even says that every one of us have turned away from God and followed our own way. Like sheep, we've turned away, right? And gone astray. And so all of us have sinned and fall short. In fact, Romans also says, there is none righteous, no, not one. So don't think that you're the only one. None of us are perfect. All of us fall short. That's why we all need Jesus. So after I really got turned, you know, my life turned over to the Lord and I was following Jesus with all my heart, my father was not a Christian. He had grown up in church and he knew who Jesus was, but he had fallen away from the Lord and gone away in his own lifestyle. And when I really became a Christian and I was a follower of Jesus, he got very offended with me. And he would get very, like, he would attack me and, like, call me names. Like, he's the dad, right? And I'm just a teenager. And he would, like, you know, say things to me about, you know, that I was a hypocrite. He said, you're a hypocrite, just like, and he named these other people that he thought were hypocrites. He said, you're a hypocrite. You know what I said to him? I said, you're right, I am. That's why I need Jesus. And that's why you need Jesus, too. I said, you're right, Dad, I am. That's why I need Jesus. Man, because I know I don't have it all together, but that's why you need Jesus too. And so the reality is there, all of us are in that same place. That's why we all need Jesus. Whatever situation you're in, maybe there's some area of your life that feels broken. Maybe you feel unworthy in some area. Maybe you feel like you've blown it too many times. What we want to let you to know tonight is you don't have to be perfect or have it all together. You just got to surrender to him again. You just got to yield to him again. Let me read something to you in Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 4 says this. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. But Lord, I said, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. And the Lord said to me, don't say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. And don't be afraid of them. For I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. What I want to share with you is there is examples throughout the Bible of people just like Jeremiah right here. And scholars believe, theologians believe, that Jeremiah was between 12 and 15 years old when this happened in Jeremiah chapter 1. And so God calls him, just like many of you at the age you are right now, God calls him to be a prophet to the nations. And he says, I can't do that. I can't do that. I don't know how to speak. And God says to him, yes, you can, because I will be with you. Here's what I want to share with you. God sees something in you that you may not even see in yourself. Jeremiah didn't see this in himself. God's calling him to something, but Jeremiah didn't even see it in himself. He said, I can't do that. And he started to disqualify himself. And God says to him, yes, you can do it, because it's not about you. Yes, you can do it because I'm with you. I'm the one that called you. I'm the one that put you here. Yes, you can do it. Throughout the Bible, you see this. God does not use perfect people in the Bible. Every single person that God used in the Bible was a normal human being just like us. You think of people like Gideon, who when God called him to lead Israel into deliverance, he said, I can't do that. He said, my clan is the least of all the clans, and I'm the least in my clan. And God said to Gideon the same thing he said here to Jeremiah, yes, you can, because it's not about you, it's about me. Because it's not about you, because I will be with you, and you can do this. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make it look almost impossible so that when it does happen, you'll know that it was me that did it. All through the Bible, you see this. In the New Testament, too, the people that Jesus called. The people that he called to follow him as disciples, and those that he made his 12 apostles, many of them were unlikely candidates in the eyes of everyone else. God uses imperfect people. What I want you to understand is God sees something in you that you don't even see in yourself. And so many times, God's had to do things in my life to remind me of this about me. I have found myself in situations where I literally was thinking, what am I doing here? I'm just like Jeremiah says, I'm just a child. You can take out the word child and put in anything there. I'm just a businessman. I'm just a mom. I'm just a teacher. I'm just a whatever. And many times I've found myself in situations where I was having these same thoughts. What am I doing here? I'm just a. And God will remind me of this and say, it's not about you. You're here because I put you here. You're here because I see something in you that you do not even see in yourself. Same thing happened to Peter when he was fishing and Jesus did the miracle on his boat after he'd been preaching, in Peter's boat, and he tells him to drop the nets and they start catching so much fish. Peter falls down in front of Jesus and he says, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. And Jesus says, Peter, you're going to be a fisher of men. Peter, I see something in you that you don't even see in yourself. And I believe that tonight, we prayed about who would be here tonight, be it 100 people or 1,000 people. We prayed about who would be here tonight. Those of you that are adults, those of you that are teenagers, we prayed about who would be here tonight. Those of you that are part of youth groups and those that just came with a friend. And I believe that every single person that's here tonight needs to hear this message. People that have been walking with the Lord a long time and those of you that don't know the Lord at all, that you need to understand that God sees something in you that you may not even see in yourself. And you don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have it all figured out. He wants to use you right now, right where you are. That's what Youthquake's all about. The heart of Youthquake is that God wants to use teenagers right now while they're young. And so that's what our message is tonight. A couple more verses to share with you, and then we'll wrap it up. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this: I appeal to you by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Tonight, what we want every single person here to do, every one of us, even those of us maybe that have been followers of Jesus for a long time, that we would completely surrender our lives to Jesus again tonight. You know what I believe? Every fresh start starts with a fresh surrender. And so what we need to do tonight, all of us, is a fresh surrender to the Lord, yielding our lives to God completely. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says that when you come to Jesus, when you get saved, when you give your life to him, that you become a new creation, and the old is gone and the new has come. And then he goes on to say, right after that, that he's put you in a ministry of reconciliation and made you ambassadors. He's made you an ambassador. Do you know what it means to be an ambassador? When I was in Kenya, for 6 months while I was in Bible college, and I would get homesick. You know, I'd get homesick for things like a Big Mac. I'm serious, man. The food was awesome, but it wasn't like American food, you know? And I almost got beat up by some other missionaries because I was really homesick and I was thinking about McDonald's, and I started singing. This is a little bit older commercial, but the adults will know this. But I started singing, two all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. And they're like, they got so mad at me, right? Is that for my singing or is that for a Big Mac? I don't know. But I started singing that song and I was like, because for me it was making me happy. Because I'm thinking about, man, McDonald's, greasy French fries, you know? And I was just wanting that so bad. Instead, I was eating ugali and greens. And ugali is, it's like cornmeal. It's like cold grits. No, it's really good. It's like cold grits, and you eat it with your hands, and you dip it in the collard greens, and you eat it. And you sprinkle a little bit of salt on it. And when I first started eating it, it's called ugali. Everybody say ugali. Well, I like to imagine how things got their name. And so I was like, why is it called ugali? And I was thinking about some other missionaries that maybe came there years before me that tasted it, and they're like, ooh, golly. And so I was eating ugali and greens, but I'm singing the song about two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, you know? And literally one of the missionaries, they started to dogpile me, like, man, you shut up, you're making me homesick. And I was just laughing, you know, until they hurt me. And I quit singing it, and we had some ugali. And then I went up to this other village, and in this village I was with the Kikuyu tribe, and they eat this food called irio. And irio is like potatoes and bananas mashed together with green peas and other things I didn't recognize. And they eat it cold. And I was trying to eat it, and literally the gag reflex was like really strong. And I'm like, I had just finished preaching in this little, this was out in the bush. And I finished preaching in this little church. It was like a mud church. They built out of mud. I just finished preaching there. And somehow they recorded my message. They had this little tape recorder they attached to a car battery. And they recorded my message on this little tape recorder attached to a car battery on old cassette. And so now we're eating this Oreo, and I'm sitting here thinking, how can I dump this on the ground without them seeing me? And I was trying to take little bits on my fingers and put it under the table because there was a dog, and I was letting him lick my fingers, you know? And I kept thinking, how am I going to do this? But I didn't want to offend them because I've learned you don't want to offend the people when they feed you their very best. So I'm trying to eat it, but I thought it would also be rude if I threw up. But I was feeling that gag reflex happen, you know? And I would try to eat it, you know, and I'd try to choke. And all of a sudden, they're playing my message, and I hear my own voice say this word from the Bible. You can eat any deadly thing, and it will by no means harm you. And so now I'm preaching to myself, and I'm like, great, I really got to eat it now. And I was just like trying to power it down. And you know what they served me to wash it down? No lie. Fresh squeezed goat milk. Do you say fresh squeezed? I mean, it's not like it was an orange. It was the goat, you know? They milked the goat right into the glass here. And it's warm. This isn't like refrigerated whole milk that you pour over cereal, you know, late at night, you know. This is like warm milk right out of the goat udder. And so I'm eating Oreo, and it's gagging. And they go, here, wash it down with this, warm goat milk. I'm like, oh, help me, Jesus. You can drink any deadly thing. And I'm like, so I drank it so fast so that I wouldn't have to smell it. And they're like, oh, and they got me some more. I'm like, no, I'm full. But I really wanted a Big Mac. That's why I was singing it. So for me, it was a happy place to go to. But they're like, no, don't sing the Big Mac song anymore. So here I was getting homesick, you know, thinking about Big Macs, thinking about America. I just left that trip where I ate Oreo and fresh squeezed goat milk. And now I'm driving back into Nairobi. Nairobi's the capital of Kenya. And so there's this little area in Nairobi where all of the ambassadors live. That's what got us into this. You thought I was ADD and got off track. What got us into this is talking about the verse in the Bible that says, you are Christ's ambassadors. So I'm driving back into Nairobi, and I'm passing this cutoff where the ambassadors live. And I decide to drive over there because there was this little mall, outdoor mall, in an area called Muthega, and they had a cafe with cappuccino. I'm like, I'm gonna go get a cappuccino. And so on the way there, though, I had to pass where the ambassadors lived, and I saw the American ambassador's house. And out front of the American ambassador's house, there was an American flag, and there was a Marine standing there. And he was standing there, you know, with the red stripe and the white glove and the hat, and he's standing there at you know, man, I felt so patriotic, and I was so homesick because I'd been singing the Big Mac song, and now I'm driving in, and I see this Marine, and I'm by myself, and I pull up right in front of the American ambassador's house where the flag is, and I just stared at it. Man, I got a tear in my eye. I rolled my window down, and I started yelling, USA, USA, really loud, and the Marine just, like, looked at me, you know, like, you know, you're strange, and I think he thought that because I circled back around like four or five times. But here's the deal. When you're an ambassador, it means that you have the full backing of the government you represent. That's what it means. So if you're the ambassador from the United States to a foreign country, it means that you have the full authority of the United States government behind you. That's what it means to be an ambassador. And so here's what the Bible says. You are Christ's ambassadors. It says, when you come to faith in Jesus, that you're a new creation, and that it goes on to say, now we are Christ's ambassadors. That means that we have the full authority of heaven behind us as his representatives on this earth. Do you believe that? But see, here's the thing. If you believe it, it changes the way you live. You don't really believe something until it changes the way you behave. You don't really believe something until it changes the way you act, right? And so if you really believe that, if you're a new creation, stop holding on to the old stuff. If you're a new creation, stop going back into all the old stuff that you used to go back into. If you're a new creation, man, you just follow Jesus with all your heart and realize that you are his ambassador. It's not something you can earn. It's not something you deserve. It's because of what he did for us. We are his ambassadors. Because what he did is he made us perfect. Here's what Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 10. It says, but when this priest, talking about Jesus the high priest, when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That's us. That means he made us perfect before God, but now while we're on this planet, we're walking out the process of perfection. He's making us holy. You don't have to be perfect. You come to him, and he makes you that way. That's what the show is about tonight. The show is about tonight that he sees something in you you don't see in yourself. What he sees in you is somebody that he's created to be an ambassador, somebody that's created to walk in his authority. That's what he sees when he sees you. You may not even see it in yourself. That's what we want to help you get past tonight. Because you may hear me saying this, and you may believe it in your head, but in your heart you still feel like, yeah, but I'm just a whatever, like Jeremiah. Yeah, but that's not really me. That's somebody else. What we want to help you do tonight is realize that he sees something in you you don't see in you, and it's not about you, it's about him. So tonight what we want every single one of us to do is a fresh surrender, completely yielding our lives to Jesus, that we could be his ambassadors. And I really hadn't planned on telling this story, and it's a story that I've told before. It's an older story, but maybe somebody needs to hear it tonight. There is a missionary that we knew years ago. His name's Aaron Kolb, and he was in Guadalajara, Mexico, and they had a Bible school there, and so they would bring speakers in to speak at this Bible school, and would go to the airport to pick them up when they would come and speak at this Bible school in Mexico. And every time he went to the airport in Guadalajara, it was always chaos. You know, it's crazy driving in Mexico. And when you go to an airport like that, it's pandemonium. And he could never find parking. And one day, he noticed a parking lot that said ambassador parking only. And that day, he had been reading this passage in the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 where it says, I'm an ambassador. And he got a revelation of that. He's like, wait a minute, I am an ambassador. So he literally drives up to the ambassador parking, and the guard tells him that he can't park there. He said, this is ambassador parking, you only have to park somewhere else. He said, I'm an ambassador. And the guard was kind of surprised, and he stepped back and he looked at his car, and he didn't see like any official government markings. And he says, well, who do you represent? And Aaron Kolb, without any hesitation and with complete conviction, he said, I represent the King of the Kings, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, I'm his ambassador. And the guard goes, and he lifted it, and he goes, pass. And he let him park there. Now, I'm not suggesting that you should go do that unless you get a revelation. But what I am suggesting is you need that revelation. You need to know who you are in Christ. And you need to understand that he sees something in you you don't even see in yourself. Just like Jeremiah, just like Gideon, just like Peter. You know who God calls and uses? A few weeks ago, we had a pastor from our church that was teaching our leadership team, and he said, here's who God calls. The overlooked, like David was overlooked. They brought out seven brothers, but not David. They overlooked him. God calls the ones that are overlooked. Maybe you feel overlooked. God calls the unqualified, like Gideon. He felt unqualified to lead. And God will even use the unwilling, like Jonah, who was running away. The point is that God can use you. You guys, we believe that God's placed us in this city, and we believe that God put you here for such a time as this. We believe that something amazing is supposed to happen in Jacksonville for God. Just like tonight, there's all kinds of things going on all over the city. Because you know why? Because God is stirring something in Jacksonville. God is preparing us for an amazing move. right? There is unity and cooperation like never before. Churches cross denominational lines, cross ethnic lines, coming together for the purpose of Jesus. We see it happening not only in churches, we even see it now happening with some of the businesses and political things happening in Jacksonville. We need to continue to make that happen, but you know who's going to really make it happen? You. God's going to use you to do that. I want to see that happen for Jacksonville. And I want to see that happen for your family, for your school, for your church. But it's going to take all of us surrendering to Him and saying, you know what? Maybe I don't see it in myself, but I trust you. I yield to you. Maybe tonight you feel too young. Maybe you feel unworthy. Maybe you feel unprepared. Tonight, surrender to Jesus. Would you stand with me? He sees something in you that you don't see in yourself. And what we need to do is surrender to Him so that we can begin to see what He sees, so that He can use us wherever He leads us. Some of you, listen to this real close. Some of you are the key to your family. Some of you are the key to your parents coming to know the Lord. My father gave his life to Jesus. My parents had divorced, and he had gone off into his own lifestyle, and he wasn't walking with the Lord, and my parents never got back together, but my dad gave his life to the Lord before he died. My dad died on Palm Sunday in 1994. He had been so sick the last 3 weeks of his life, he hadn't even been able to go home. He was in the hospital. He died on Palm Sunday. And when I went to his house and went through his things, there was a calendar hanging on the refrigerator. And he had Palm Sunday circled in red. And he had handwritten, "Return to the full graces of God." And now is the day he died. My point is, you guys, some of you are the key to your parents. Some of you are the key to your families coming to know the Lord. God wants to use you in ways that you can't imagine right now, but you've got to yield to Him. You've got to surrender to Him. You've got to follow Him and trust Him. Instead of when you hear things going on in your family and maybe you hear your parents disagreeing over money or something else going on, and you, maybe instead of going and drowning out the sounds with your iPod or whatever it is you do, maybe what we need to do is maybe we need to be the ones to go in our room and fall on our knees and say, and claim our families and pray for our parents and pray for our brothers and sisters and pray for our communities and pray for our schools. My point is, if we're going to see true revival happen in Jacksonville, it's going to have to happen with all of you and with the others like you that are other places tonight. I believe God wants to do something amazing. And I believe He wants to use you to do it. That's a good place to clap. So if you just bow your hearts before the Lord for a moment, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Maybe you're here tonight and there's kind of three categories of us here. There are those of us that maybe we feel unworthy because it's not because of anything we've done. We just don't feel like we're good enough. We don't feel like we know enough. We don't feel like we're talented enough. And we hold back because of that. And what we need to do is surrender to Jesus. There are those of us tonight that need to surrender to Him again. Maybe we've done it hundreds of times, but we need to surrender to Him again. If that's you, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to come down here. There are some of you that are here tonight, and man, you have known the Lord, and you've walked with the Lord, but for whatever reason, in recent days, in recent years, you've turned away from Him, and you've avoided Him. You've fallen away. Tonight, we want you to come back to Him. He says this in the Bible many times. He says, return to me. Man, just come back to me. In Micah chapter 7, it says, He will again have compassion on us and He'll put our transgressions underneath His feet. And that word again is my favorite word, again. Maybe you've blown it and you've turned away. And tonight I want to say, return to Him. He will again have compassion on you. Maybe that's you. And there's the third category. There are those of you that are here tonight and you've never given your life to Jesus for the first time. Maybe you've been around church. Maybe you've grown up in church. Maybe you've heard a lot about God, but you've never really given your life to Jesus to say, You rule my life. You be my Lord. And tonight, if you're one of those three people, I want you to be very bold in this place because God did something very bold for you. If you're one of those three people, I want you to come right down here and stand with me. We're going to sing a song. And this song is basically saying, God is after you. I hope you understand that. The reason that you're here tonight, the fact that you're here tonight is evidence of the fact that God is pursuing you. That's awesome. You guys can come on down here. That's great. So here's what this song says. This song is based in that truth. It says, you won't relent until you have it all. So as we sing this song tonight, if that's you, if you're sitting there thinking you should be down here, don't stay in your seat. Come down here. If you're sitting there and your heart's pounding and your palms are sweating, that means God's probably dealing with you. You need to come down here. So we're going to sing this song. And as we do, man, I just want to encourage you to make your way. You come down here, you get on your knees, you pray. We're going to pray together in a minute. Let's just go into this song, you guys. And as we sing it, the rest of you that need to come, you just come on.